Om Sahana Bhavatu, Sahana Bhunaktu, Saha Viryam Karavavahai, Tejasvinavadhitamastu Ma Vidvishavahai. Om Shanti Shanti Shanti. In some ways, Karma Yoga, the life of Karma Yoga, is not that different from the life of a sannyasi, in somebody who's taken the orange. For us, even though we haven't taken the orange or taken those vows publicly, we're not wearing orange, still, what's happening for each one of us is what we call guna sannyasa. That means sannyasa by quality. You know, so if you take sannyasa in the public and you're wearing the orchard, you're taking the orange, you're going through those rituals and you're announcing to the world that you're a sannyasi. So we're not making that announcement just by the mere fact that you're not wearing orange, right? But in terms of who we are and what we're doing, in a sense, the only real difference is that we're staying in the world where we have jobs and are working and supporting ourselves and having relationships, just the regular world, our own prarabdha karma. Whereas if I were to take sannyasa, I would be making a statement to the world that I'm now playing a particular role and I'm not working in that way. All in fact that I'm doing, supposedly, Swamiji aside, all I'm doing is shravana. I'm exposing myself to this teaching. I'm doing manana, which means dealing with all of the doubts and other ways I think it should be. So I'm spending time with that. I'm doing nididhyasana, which means, just like in the meditation today, I continue to own up my knowledge, either sitting alone by myself in contemplation or, because of Karma Yoga, as a continual sadhana in terms of my daily life. It's the same thing. It's just I'm owning up my knowledge in reference to the world, the prarabdha karma I find myself in, as opposed to owning up my knowledge sitting in contemplation all day. That's why Krishna in the Bhagavad Gita says to Arjuna time and again, it's better to be owning up your knowledge continually, through Karma Yoga, in your field, in the field of your experience, in the field of your prarabdha karma. Because in that way, you're actually working through all of your complexes and all of your raga dveshas. You're actually, your mind is given a chance to own up the knowledge in its own environment. See what I mean? Where all of the different complexes and habits and, you know, habitual ways of being are fully alive and well. And so when that's the situation, there are so many opportunities to bring back the Jiva Srishti. Jiva Srishti means my own imaginal world that my mind is continually taking me on in terms of what's going to happen to me and am I going to get this? Is this going to be right? All of the worries and all the projections into the future, and all of the despair over the past, if this hadn't happened, everything would be fine, but since it did happen, it's ruining my life. All of this, that's all Jiva Srishti, all of this imaginal world that is triggered by my raga dvesha. It's triggered by my likes and dislikes. In the true sense of the form, I need it to be this way in order for me to be happy. As soon as you feel that, Jiva Srishti is growing well. It's like I've just put a lot of fertilizer and watered the tree and put the sunlight on it and everything is starting to sprout. It's spring. So, what I need to do as a sadhana, you know, is to continue to bring the Jiva Srishti back to the present. So that's step one. You know what that means? Bring your imaginal world. You're not living in the present now. You're lost in the future, which is sprung from your likes and dislikes. The first thing, you bring your mind back to the present, to Ishwara. Ishwara is the present, you know. And then see what is here to be done right now. What is the reality right now? What are the appropriate emotions for the present? Because a lot of times these emotions have nothing to do with the present. They have to do with your imagination, which is just like if you bite into a lemon, right? I'm experiencing that sourness of the lemon just by imagination. Well, you generate emotions in the same way. And so when you bring your mind back to the present, you can see what is the reality of what is happening now. And you realize, I've just created that world and now I've woken up from that dream. So now this is where I am. But also bringing your mind back to the present, the affect or the emotions might still be there, but now since you've brought it back to the present, your buddhi, your intellect is there, right? To be in relationship with those emotions I've just brought back to the present. You know, like say something really is worrying you or somebody really hurt your feelings or whatever and your mind is spinning out on that. You come back to the present and then those hurt emotions or whatever are still there. But you're in you, the buddhi, is still right now in Ishwara Srishti. Mm-hmm. Because you are in the present.
Ishwara Srishti.
Ishwara's creation. When I'm here in the present, awake to the present through my sense organs, even the buddhi awake to the mind, the fluctuating mind of the buddhi awake to the emotion which is happening right now. Right? The buddhi, your buddhi, your mind, your intellect is here now and is now paying attention instead of to what I'm perceiving through my sense perception, which is Virat, the physical form of Ishwara. I'm paying attention to what is happening in the manas, right? The emotional world or in the chitta. The manas is that fluctuating mind that carries really the negative emotions. The chitta is your memory. So the buddhi now in the present is awake to whatever condition the manas or your memories or your complexes are in. And it, in the present, can get into a very helpful dialogue because the buddhi is in the present with your knowledge, you know, enjoys the peace of your own being and also is situated in Ishwara. So the buddhi, if that is so, the buddhi is now kind because your own nature is kind. The atma is kind, not as a verb, but as a swarupa. It's kind. It's in no way evokes any type of fear. In fact, it only invokes well-being and safety. That's who you are. And so when the buddhi rooted in my own being, right, then can be a good parent to whatever the complex is, whatever the hurt is. Like if somebody has hurt you or frightened you in some way or threatened you in some way, whatever it may be, in your dialogue with the letting that emotion talk about it, that really helps. Talk about it in a loving presence and tell you what exactly is they're afraid of, what exactly you're worried about, what exactly, you know, is the problem. You can listen, you can give any advice you have to give after you've listened, anything that might be helpful, like a good parent to a little child, you know, what might be helpful. But then it's time for some nitya dhyasana. After that. Mm-hmm. So there's no bypass. Mm-hmm. We've taken care on all levels, no bypass. But then, as a mamukshu, as a seeker, as somebody who really, for whom this knowledge is the most important thing, that's mamukshu. All kinds of other things are happening, but they all happen within the context of my knowledge. Which means everything is a sadhana, basically. It's either Ishwara or it's a sadhana. In terms of the way I relate to it. Okay, so then what I need to do is after this process has taken place, come back to the present, recognize what is really happening in the present, what are the emotions, feelings, things to be done that are relevant now, right? And then if there's still a little hurt one inside, being a good parent, bringing in that inner friend, bringing in that kindness, understanding how I can help. Right? Just like that's our buddhi for externally, for Ishwara, what do I have to do? How can I be helpful? It's not about raga dvesha anymore. Raga dvesha is irrelevant to my own well-being. In fact, raga dvesha is an obstruction to my well-being. Because then I'm all pulled out here into a world I have no control over. Control, if I have any control at all, it's just toward Dharma and how I am toward all of these things. I have something, and especially with my knowledge, then more and more I know how to respond in a way that is actually helpful to my little ones inside, to my likes and dislikes and all. I know a way to respond that is really helpful. Okay. So having taken care of that, now nididhyasana means let me own up my knowledge. That's the last step. But it's a very important one. Because all of the other things are all samsara, and if I just let it go there, then I've just neutralized samsara for a while. Right? So what I need to do is come back to myself, to my own presence, which is inviolate, which is always exactly the same, which is always whole and complete. And I own that up. I let the buddhi, my buddhi, gently focus on my own being. Let my mind just be whatever is going on in my mind, whatever, it doesn't matter. You just welcome it. The buddhi gently focusing on my own being. Whatever the experience is inside and out, I simply welcome them so there's no stress. No stress in my mind at all. I welcome them all as Ishwara. Even any upset that is there, that's all karmapala. You know, karmapala belong, the fruits of your action belong to Ishwara. Ishwara is giving those to you. It's prasadam. So you welcome all, you let yourself welcome all of that. Turn toward your buddhi, gently focusing toward the silence of your own presence amidst whatever is taking place. Even the beautiful birds in the stream, any thoughts that are coming through, all of them are completely welcomed into Bhagavan. Because Bhagavan, Brahman, your being never says, I don't want you. You're okay. It doesn't do it. It's always exactly the same. Everyone is absolutely welcome because nothing can harm it. And nothing can harm you. And so you recognize that fact that your being can never be touched or harmed or changed in any way. Resolve yourself in nididhyasana and contemplation into the reality of that, and then the buddhi gently focusing on your own presence, let the ahankara resolve and just abide as the aham, which is Brahman. Aham means I. This is my own being, which is me. Just be. Sometimes I like to say, okay, we've done all these things now, we've welcomed all of these things that are objectified. Now just gently let the buddhi focus on your own being, and then just sit there as yourself. Just be yourself. Because now, when we do this, when we do the welcoming, the buddhi is gently focused on me. I become, my own being becomes much more dominant in terms of much more pervasive, much more like the gestalt coming into the forefront of the experience, because I'm not focusing on anything. Birds are singing, the stream is happening, thoughts are going through, but they're not my focus. They're all fine, just to be there exactly as they are. They're not my focus. They're allowed to be. Right? That's important, because what if we're trying, you try to push all these things away. That's not necessary. Just let them be. Let them be Ishwara. Welcome them. Any thoughts that are floating through, just welcome them. It's no problem. Let the buddhi gently appreciate yourself. And you find that because of the relaxation, and the lack of tension, your own presence is what dominates. It's kind of like letting the pot of the clay just relax. What is there? Mm-hmm. It's just the clay. So when I let my own everything be just welcomed, what is there is just me, simply me. And with the buddhi, bringing your gently, just as the mind maybe wanders off in this way or that, that's fine. That's what the mind does. The mind wanders off. We meditate, and meditation is just bringing it back. That's what meditation is. So you just gently learn how to bring it back. Bring it back. This takes a long time. Bringing it back is not even a split second. It's just a moment. It's almost like a training where the mind just learns how to do that. But it learns how to do that because you're teaching it how to do that. You know? And so, a person who's a sannyasi, that's all they do, really. There's four things that in the life of sannyasa, because you've given up all your job and your work. You're doing shravana. Manana shravana is listening to the teaching. Manana is, you know, thinking it over and quelling any doubts about why, well, maybe it's somewhere else other than what the Upanishads say. So working through that is manana. Nididhyasana is contemplation, either open eye, closed eye. It's continually owning up your knowledge. And katana. Katana means satsang and teaching. That's what a sannyasi does. That's it. And so for us with guna sannyasa, it's really not that different. It's just that you have not, in a sense, taken yourself out of samsara. You're in samsara. Means not as a samsari. You're not in samsara as a samsari. You're in samsara as a mumukshu, as a jnani, as a sannyasi. But you're in samsara. You're no less of a jnani or a sannyasi than someone who's wearing orange. The lifestyle is different. And this lifestyle is preferable for gaining antakarana shuddhi, because there's no bypassing. You're dealing all the time with life until the life is not a problem. Whether you're in the forest or you're in the middle of your life, it's fine. See what I mean? You don't need to go to the forest because you're already as though in the forest. You don't need to go to the beautiful, tranquil spot so you can be tranquil. You have the same tranquility in the middle of the city or with your relatives or whoever is there to, you know, trigger you. Yeah. Those triggers are a great sadhana. You know, like Swami Vagishananda would always say, when the triggers come, please, come. You're so welcome. Come. But why does he joke like that? Is because this is exactly what I need in the world in order to neutralize these triggers. If you don't neutralize them, they're just there waiting. They're waiting to be triggered. If you don't do the work, they're waiting to be triggered. So you can go live in the forest, but if old problem, Mr. Problem, comes, then you could be in the... Honestly, you could be in the forest for 10 years. Problem comes, lying dormant there in the unconscious, the trigger takes place, and boom! And there it is. Now, we can be happy that it's come so that we can work on it. It's just I have to wait 10 years for that particular thing to work through. Whereas here, you know, all the time. One of the wonderful things about being at an ashram, an ashram is beautiful because you have the shravana, manana, nididhyasana continually, which is great. It's hard to get that, so much immersion. But the other side of it is that you have samsara compacted into this tiny space, you know, with 60 people who are all doing the same thing in the same place, at the same time, all together, day after day after day after day. Whereas here it's so easy because you can retreat to your own home, you know? Mm-hmm. Leave it all behind. There's no... Mm-hmm. You retreat to your home, everybody's still there. So that is the hard part. But that's also a blessing because you're in this cauldron that you can't get out of. You know? And the immersion. It's easier and more natural for us to just be at our home, then you can't get as much immersion. Doesn't matter though, you're getting enough samsara. You get plenty of samsara. Yeah. Samsara is a good thing. For mumukshu, samsara is a good thing because every single little piece of samsara means raga dvesha reaction is okay, this is there for me to work on. But in order for that to be real for you, it's good to have your own meditative practice. And bring this knowledge, like every morning, bring this knowledge to the forefront. And then carry out this understanding throughout the day of getting in the habit of bringing jiva srishti, the jiva's imagination and creation, bringing it back to the present till that becomes natural. You catch yourself, a good thing, if you catch yourself in any type of pain, oops, that's the raising its hand to you. That's then what you do is bring it back to the present. See what the reality is here now. If that little one needs some help to talk to, or to let it tell you what's the matter, let that happen, and then come home. Nididhyasana. Make sense? So while we're here, we're going to be we have class. So we have meditation in the morning and then some little satsang and then class in the evening. During the day, you can kind of develop that muscle. It really is just developing the mind, getting used to this, because the more that you do it, the more that you'll do it. Because it's so preferable. It's so preferable to having to deal with these raga dveshas and upsets and all of that at all. It keeps the mind small instead of it abiding deeply in shanti. But to do that, you know, we have to do some karma yoga, we have to do some, there's some sadhana involved. If you don't do that sadhana, then you, there's other things, you learn how to just accept the mind as it is, but why? We accept the mind as it is and we help it also. Mm-hmm. Makes sense?
It's interesting how much psychology was involved in a lot of the kind of various texts.
Yes.
And it's, you know, and it's funny because people, I don't know, like, you know, there's this whole, what I'm now calling, like, the neo-yoga world. And there's a little bit this understanding of, like, especially with bypass, it's like that this is a new thing that's come in, and yet when Krishna is insisting upon Arjuna, you know, he's like, if you were a sannyasi, you wouldn't even ask this question, you know, which would be better? If you were all, you know, if you were there in the you know, if you had the qualifications for sannyasa, you wouldn't ask that question. So the very fact that you asked that question, here is karma yoga for you. And so this, like, insistence on not bypassing, but when it's not seen that way, then this bypass seems like a new thing that, you know, now we're, you know, attributing to psychology and then superimposing it.
Totally. Yeah, it's all there.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's beautiful.
Yeah.
Sometimes we have to translate it in a way that is recognized, but when you recognize it, then there it is.
Right. It's so clearly,
it's so clear.
Completely there.
Mm-hmm. Mm. Yeah. Let's say a prayer and talk about the farm present. Om Purnamadah Purnamidam Purnat Purnamudachyate Purnasya Purnamadaya Purnameva Vasishyate Om Shanti 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 Harihi Om Shri Gurubhyo Namaha Harihi Om.